You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantes. Berkeley County Democrat Senator John Unger has dropped his lawsuit against Senate President Bill Cole after reaching an agreement with the majority Thursday. Ashton Mara reports.
Senator John Unger filed a lawsuit in Kanawha County Circuit Court after Senate leadership announced they would hold floor sessions, including votes on bills, both Saturday and Sunday this week. Unger is the pastor of three churches in Berkeley County and said Senate President Cole was forcing him to choose between his parishioners and his constituents, violating his religious freedom. But a deal was reached Thursday, causing Unger to drop the suit. Unger said in a written statement Thursday evening, Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael had given his word there would be no votes during the Sunday floor session. A court hearing scheduled before a Kanawha County Circuit judge today has been canceled. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Members of the House debated amendments to a bill yesterday that would appeal, or rather it would repeal, the state's Common Core-based education standards and require new assessments for public education. Common Core was replaced by the West Virginia Board of Education in December, but as Liz McCormick reports, some delegates believe the state board hasn't gone far enough.
When the West Virginia Board of Education repealed the state's Common Core-based education standards in December, they replaced them with the West Virginia College and Career Ready standards. Those were the result of an eight-month review process led by State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Michael Martirano. Still, some members of the House believe Martirano's standards are too similar to Common Core, and they want them removed. That's what House Bill 4014 would do. As approved by the House Education Committee, the bill would repeal any education standards based on Common Core and also prohibit the state from allowing students to take standardized tests aligned with those standards. Delegate Mike Folk of Berkeley County has been an outspoken opponent of Common Core. He was not satisfied with the committee's version of the bill and attempted to amend it on the floor Thursday. His amendment does three things. It replaces the state's math standards with those established by California in 1997. It replaces the West Virginia English Language Arts standards with standards written pre-Common Core in Massachusetts, and also creates a board of teachers with all 55 counties to write the assessments for these standards.
That's the essence of the amendment. Puts the teachers in control of the test.
Many members spoke against Folk's amendment, including members of his own party, like Delegate Roy Cooper of Summers County.
What we have before us is a complete rewrite of what 25 people did in the Education Committee. The Education Committee, as you know, like any other committee in this House, is formed for the purpose of channeling and funneling legislation. Ladies and gentlemen, we turned out a good piece of legislation up there, and this amendment, if we pass it, will stop what we did dead in its tracks.
Folk did find some supporters in the chamber, though, including Delegate Michael Ely of Jackson County.
If you're sick and tired of your child coming home crying because she can't do the new math, you'll vote for this amendment. And this has happened. I have had more than one constituent tell me that this has happened. We are at such a state in our educational system as a state. We are at such a position that the only way we have to go is up.
After nearly 2 hours of debate on the amendment alone, Folk closed the argument.
In closing, are we going to do what's best for the children? Are we going to do what's best to it's one tool in the toolbox. Because there are other serious issues.
His amendment failed on a vote of 35 to 62, but it was just one of 12 the body considered. Other amendments called on the Senate President and House Speaker to appoint a panel of math and English curriculum experts to review the current standards and make any necessary changes by October of this year. Those experts do not have to be from West Virginia. That amendment was approved. Delegates made a number of changes to the standardized testing requirements, including requiring only one assessment in high school. All of the assessments in West Virginia would have to measure science as well as math and English, according to an amendment approved Wednesday. The bill also prohibits the State Board of Education from implementing the Common Core-based science standards that would have taken effect July 1st. Finally, delegates added protections to the bill for students and parents who opt out or refuse to take a standardized test. The amended version of the bill says those students cannot be punished or have their grades reduced, but they also cannot be precluded from receiving the promised scholarship or be accepted to a West Virginia higher education institution. House Bill 4014 will be up for a final vote in the House Friday. If approved, the bill will be sent to the state Senate. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
There are more than 1,000 behavioral and substance abuse services available to West Virginians, but sometimes when you or a loved one is struggling, it can be tough to know where to go or who to call for help. So 6 months ago, First Choice Services, with funding from the Department of Health and Human Resources, launched Help for WV, a text, chat, and call line. Carol Lofton visited the center and reports that although the program is new, early data is showing that it is doing what it's supposed to, which is connecting those in need with pre-existing services.
I smoked weed for the first time when I was 8 years old, which kind of progressed.
Jamie Moffitt is a phone operator at the Help for West Virginia Call Center and a former addict.
There was a lot of violence in the home, so I used that as an escape from that. And that just kind of progressed, and I did, you know, some other things here and there.
Moffitt said the first time she did cocaine, she was 12.
At first, it's such a euphoric feeling, that it's almost hard to describe, because it is an amazing feeling, which is why people keep doing it, you know what I mean? But it doesn't take long before those effects wear off and you continue to progress in your disease, and you have to have it. When you have to use something in order to function, in order to be well, it's not so fun anymore.
Moffitt spiraled downward. She left her daughter with the daughter's father, started making and selling meth, and got caught in a cycle of jail and rehab. Finally, she was sent to a facility in Huntington and enrolled in a 12-step program. She has now been clean for 3 years and says her experience gives her a unique perspective at her job at the Help for West Virginia Call Center, where she spends every day connecting West Virginians with facilities that help people deal with behavioral health or substance abuse issues. When people call the helpline, Moffitt says she knows exactly what they're going through.
That is the entire reason that I'm able to do what I do here at First Choice.
Almost 6 months after its launch, Help for West Virginia has received more than 900 calls and referred more than 650 of those callers to a facility or provider. Heather McDaniels is the Help for West Virginia program director.
If someone calls in, they'll typically tell us that they need help with substance abuse or behavioral health issue. They'll generally tell us a little bit about what's been going on with them, what type of substance abuse problem they're having, and then talk to us about the treatment options available in their area.
McDaniel says each day they take dozens of calls. As time goes on, more and more West Virginians are calling in for help.
While they're on the phone with us, we go ahead and connect to the facilities with them on the line, so it's like a three-way call, so that we know when we get off the phone with them that they have an appointment and when they'll be seen.
McDaniel said that Help for West Virginia is the first program of its kind in West Virginia. It not only gives struggling individuals and families somewhere to call and compiles state resources, but also helps those individuals without insurance fill out Medicaid applications. She said it's too early to tell whether or not those who call are actually following through with rehab like Moffitt did, but invited me to check back in a couple of months. She suspects the results will be good. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
32-year-old Gary Bentley spent 12 years working in the mines of eastern Kentucky, and he recently started an online blog called In the Black, which is kind of a memoir. It's a series of essays about what it's like to work as a miner, beginning when he was just out of high school. This weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia features an interview with Gary Bentley, conducted by Kelly Haywood. Next, we'll hear a preview of their talk. And warning, there is some descriptive language in the segment that some listeners may find offensive.
Do you have any segments from what you've written that you'd like to read?
All right, so this story, I think, ended up being labeled First Day Jitters, because this was my first day working underground. I was 18 years old, had only been out of high school for a short, maybe a couple months. And so it was my first day at this mine, never been underground, had no clue what I was doing. And I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs from sort of the middle and end of the story. I walked a fast pace out to the rail car, 20 burly men lying side to side, somewhat spooning, like my girlfriend and I would do at night. I was intimidated and scared. I wasn't just scared because we were riding a rail car 7 miles back into the mountain to work in a 36-inch seam of coal. I was scared because these were real men. They were fathers of the kids I went to school with, men who had enough strength to bend a 1-inch steel bar with their bare hands. I'd witnessed that. I was just a skinny teenage boy with glasses, bad skin, and not enough to pick up a loaded number 4 coal shovel. So I just laid down in the first opening I saw. I turned on my headlamp and closed my eyes as the wheels of the rail car barked against the rails and the diesel engine roared into my ears. "Whoa, stop!" His voice cut through the noise like nothing I'd ever heard. Sparks flew up past my face and the wheels of the car screamed as the operator brought us to an abrupt halt. "All right now, it's Sunday night after payday. Everybody chip in so we can get this night started right. Don't anybody hold out. I know y'all got it." All these men, they were bearded, haggard, eyes sunken back into their skulls. The darkness and the glow of the headlamps made everyone look like death. They were pulling plastic bags, pill bottles, and emptied skull cans out of their pockets so they could dump their Loratab, Xanax, Valium, and whatever other prescription drugs they had onto the top of the rail car. Then the guy looked over. "Hey, new kid, you got any medicine to put in?" I just shook my head left to right, right to left again. And just about the time I stopped myself, I watched the men use their mining certification cards to cut lines of a multicolored rainbow assortment of powders. It disappeared as quick as we did when we entered the drift mouth, and so did the romanticism behind coal mining.
Not the image that we typically get today of miners and mining. I think it takes real bravery to come out with that scene right out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, it was a culture shock for me. I mean, growing up here, I'd heard rumors, people talk about it, it was in the news, of prescription drug abuse. I'd never seen it with my own eyes. I'd never in my life seen anybody snort a pill. I had no clue. I'd just heard people talk about it. So it was one thing to be scared and terrified of going into this mine and traveling under a mountain with these men. But then to see them do that right before work, just, I was in complete shock and I didn't even know how to react to it.
And that was the former underground coal miner Gary Bentley reading an entry from his online blog called In the Black. You can listen to Bentley's full interview on this Sunday's episode of Inside Appalachia. The show airs at 7 a.m. Sunday morning and then again Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Or you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. All Country Rock Masters Drive-By Truckers return to Mountain Stage this weekend with a preview of the sounds from their Dirt Underneath tour. Here's the Drive-By Truckers with a song called Pauline Hawkins on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week. was the Drive-By Truckers with Pauline Hawkins. You can hear the song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we're interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. You can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantese. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, and Liz McCormick. And our news director is Jesse Wright, and our theme music is by Matt Jackvert.